The mules are in the corral. Welcome to Mule Talk, and I'm Cindy K. Roberts, your host.
And our author, TV personality, and world-renowned mule trainer, Meredith Hodges of the Lucky Three Ranch.
All right, we are back on, and happy Cinco de Mayo, Meredith.
Happy Cinco de Mayo to you too, Cindy. We have a lot of friends that are celebrating today. When I was younger, I used to like to go out and participate. As I evolved and became an elder, it's opened my eyes to the value of accepting God and all the things that He said in the Ten Commandments. In the beginning, I didn't really understand the things that Jesus taught when He was here among us. It didn't make much sense to me back then.
Right.
I was more into going out and partying, and I was looking at trail riding as a way to just have fun. I would take beer with me and drink because I thought it was cooler to be high while I was doing it. But now, I don't think I ever knew what I was missing.
Right. Yes, exactly.
With life's experiences, you do start to realize the values of things, and then you realize how much more there is to learn. For instance, when I was in school, I didn't understand the relevance of reading, writing, arithmetic, science, and history, and I really hated history. When I started my life with mules in 1973 and learned about how badly they were treated, it dawned on me how important it was to pay attention to history.
Right, yeah.
Mules and donkeys helped build this country in so many ways. Their contributions around the world have been numerous. And what was the result of that? People are always gossiping about how bad mules and donkeys are.
Oh, yeah.
And they're such wonderful animals. When I finally paid attention, I realized how important my approach to training was going to have to be. It wasn't fun to me anymore to just go get high and ride through the woods. I began to think about how my mule must feel and gave more attention to observing the reaction of my animal in the environment that I created for him. I began thinking about the spacious and wild environment that equines used to enjoy. The environment that they have now does not afford as much space as they had way back then. I thought about how they were used and abused throughout history and the work that went with it. I thought about how we take so many things for granted these days, and probably one of the most important things is good posture.
Oh, you bet. Yes.
What can you do if you don't have good posture? You take it for granted, and then you take it for granted in your animal. No living creature is born with good posture. Good posture is something that everyone, including equines, need to learn to be happy and healthy. Good posture is standing up straight, using strong back and core muscles in an ideal body alignment, with legs squared, feet firmly planted, in balance, comfortable, and confident. What we do physically affects the way we feel about things.
Right.
If we're not paying attention to our good posture, then we will have days where we're sore and cranky, and not appreciating life and all the wonderful things that life has to offer. We don't stop to smell the roses. We're just thinking about the next way we can anesthetize ourselves from any kind of pain.
Right.
The best way to anesthetize yourself from any kind of pain is to do the exercises that it takes and eat in a healthy way so that your body will feel good. You won't always be tired and feel worn out. The way you're feeling will always transfer to your animal. If you're only doing training so you can ride them, and you don't consider how your riding affects their body, then you have a long string of issues that will rise ahead. The first will start with mounting. When you put your foot in the stirrup and try to mount, you pull the saddle over sideways. You knock them off balance and they can't stand still. Then you get mad at them for moving.
Right.
The same thing happens when you're just leading them. If you've got that lead rope in your hand and you're pulling them forward, you're putting tension on the lead rope in an irregular fashion because you're probably not in good posture either. So with every step that you take, you're throwing their head and neck off to one side or the other, which is throwing them off balance. It's also throwing you off balance because you're probably not walking straight. One of the clearest examples is if cops pull you over and they make you walk a straight line. Pretty hard to do. It's hard enough to walk a straight line even when you're not drinking.
Okay, not good.
You will soon realize that you need to have practice walking in good posture for that to be cultivated in not only your body, but your animal's body too. So when you teach your animal to walk in good posture correctly, it's important because it determines his balance at the core, where the skeleton is being supported. His balance will transfer erratic body carriage into a solid self-body carriage of his own. That is why if leading your equine from the left side, you keep the lead rope in your left hand and you leave it loose. Granted, he will wander if you don't give him some direction. That's why you put your right hand up and point in the direction of travel. In order to also keep your own good posture steady, look and point in the direction of travel. With that hand, you can block him from getting ahead or turning in front of you. It will indicate direction for him. It's a physical body language way of directing him forward. Look down at his front legs and see what leg he's leading with and match his steps. First say his name to command his attention and then say, walk on. To maintain your good posture position, walk straight lines and gradual arcs. Walk in sync with him on straight lines and gradual arcs so that he can bring that front leg around onto the arc and then bend through his rib cage instead of just doing an abrupt turn that will scramble all 4 feet. Teach him how to walk in good posture that way. You cannot affect good posture from his back in the beginning. This is important preparation before you ride.
Right.
You have to prepare him to be ridden by first addressing his core strength in good posture with leading exercises in the elbow pull through the hourglass pattern, and it takes a while to do that. So you need to be sure that you're willing to be patient and spend the time that it takes for you to cultivate good posture in yourself and in your animal. You cannot hurry through this. There is just absolutely no way. I guess I'll tell you my story first about how important good posture really is. We both have a story to tell you about the importance of good posture. My grandmother was right when she said, I would be a sorry old woman if I didn't move in good posture and learn good manners.
Right.
Often we take things for granted. I was doing training in good posture for a long time with a lot of animals. It became pretty easy to do with 2 years of practice with groundwork, using the elbow pull and the hourglass pattern first during leading training. Then we added obstacles at the end of the leading training for about 3 to 6 months. When good posture was habitual, the equines graduated to the round pen for lunging and ground driving. They had done the prep work that would encourage them to stay in good posture and bend through the torso on the arc of the circle instead of leaning on the circle like a motorcycle. When their consistent good posture was again habitual, they graduated into the open arena. It takes 2 years for habitual good posture and balanced core strength to be established around the bones. Doing these leading exercises is the only way to be able to build core strength and good posture in both you and your animal. When I wasn't moving in good posture and I got sloppy, then they got sloppy. Core strength is a good postural balance that can only become habitual if you routinely do things exactly the same way all the time.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
I found this out when I went over to Hearts and Horses to do an interview. They wanted to get some B-roll of me walking with one of the mules I had donated 16 years ago. I had Allie for 3 months before I gave her to them. The first thing I had to do was get into the pen and retrieve Allie. I went into the pen. There were 2 horses in there with Allie. When we walked towards the gate, 3 people jumped ahead to open the gate for us. When they pulled the gate toward the inside of the pen, I shouted, "No, no, no, we need to do the gate ourselves. This should be done the same way with Allie, because what you do is always a lesson, no matter what you're doing." It was incorrect, and if they had opened the gate for us, the people would have been knocked out of the way, and Allie and I would have been trapped between the gate and the latch post. I was watching the 2 horses that were watching the people running to pull the gate in. I could see wheels turning in their brains. They were thinking, as soon as that gate gets wide open, we're bolting out.
Oh, you bet.
Right.
So I told those people to just let me and Allie open the gate ourselves. We walked up to the gate. I pushed the gate away from me, at which point the horses said, "Oh, well, there's no chance of us getting through an open space because Allie and Meredith are standing in it."
All right.
When Allie and I took control of the gate, the 2 horses walked away. Allie and I walked through the gate the way she had been taught to follow me. Then Allie started pulling on the lead rope and passed me. That action is the beginning of a bolting mule. You have the ability to stop it when you're on a short lead. Mules like it when you have purpose in what you are doing and have the leverage to follow through. Then they will comply.
Yes.
If you allow too much slack in the lead rope, they will definitely take advantage and drag you. I kept the rope short and pulled Allie around abruptly. Allie just turned around, put her head at my shoulder, at which point I closed the gate, put the chain on it while she stood still and waited for me. I went to my leading position, pointing in the direction of travel, looking in the direction of travel, and I said, "Allie, walk on." I tried to walk a straight line, but Allie was not walking a straight line. She was aggressively pulling me forward because she had not had training for 16 years.
Oh my gosh.
I asked the volunteers that were standing there, "Have you been consistently teaching all the volunteers how to lead all the equines properly in good posture?" They replied, "Oh, yeah, yeah, we've been doing it." I said, "Allie's telling me you haven't, because Allie is knocking me off sideways when I'm trying to go forward." I said, "And whoa." I had to jerk on the lead rope abruptly to get her to stop.
Okay.
Then I went ahead and tried to set her body up 4 square. She could not get into her proper alignment. Her hooves were pointed in different directions and not in line with her body. Her pelvis was twisted sideways. It reminded me that it took a whole year before Rock was able to walk in good posture back in 2010. If you would like to see a detailed documentary about how many things can go wrong when you don't teach your equine about core strength in a balanced posture, check out our Rock and Roll, The Story of a Rescue, offered on my website at lucky3ranch.com under Training, Video on Demand, Those Magnificent Mules. At one point, Rock got laminitis and his balance was drastically shifting. We asked the whole team to come out, including our second chiropractor from Colorado State University. When he came out, he looked at him and he said, "Oh, it's laminitis. We're going to have to soak his feet for about 20 minutes in buckets 3 times a day. Well, it was October and 20 degrees outside.
Ah.
The buckets I had were 5-gallon buckets. His right hind hip was shattered, and he couldn't possibly lift his foot up that high. I said, no way, that isn't going to happen. My ranch manager, Chad, had a brilliant idea. Let's just dig a trench with the backhoe, line it with rubber so it can hold water, and add pea gravel for traction. We'll fill it with water and get an industrial-strength ice maker so we'll have plenty of ice. We'll excavate a ramp on both sides so he can walk into it and walk straight out of it. That worked just perfectly. Allie would not even be able to do the hourglass pattern now because she hadn't practiced it in 16 years. I was looking at her spine and thinking about what Dr. Hausler said when he was evaluating Rock. This guy is probably going to have an erratic line from his ears to his tail through his spine because he's been shifting weight all over the place. And with this laminitis, he's been twisting his spine and throwing most of the weight forward onto the opposite front foot from this lameness that he's got in his hip. I said to Dr. Hausler, oh, okay, go ahead, get on the ladder, take a look. He got up on the ladder and was astonished. I don't believe it. His spine is straight from head to tail. How did you do that? I explained to him about the postural core strength exercises that I had been doing with all of my mules. He said, well, this mule with the shattered hip has not been just transferring the weight from the right hind to the left front. He's been transferring that pain to the other three legs. He's been dispersing it, and he has not torqued his spine. These are things that you don't even think about until you have a situation like Rock. So here I am standing with Allie, and I know that these people have not been doing these simple leading postural exercises.
Yeah.
They're using her with disabled people to help straighten their spines. Granted, therapeutic riding is extremely beneficial, but there's so much more that can happen when the animals have core strength in good posture. The equine's good posture will be transferred to the riders on their backs. This is why leading them specifically the way I describe all the time is so vitally important.
Right.
Another thing I noticed when I was at Hearts and Horses was a gypsy vanner horse standing in the grooming stanchion looking like he was going to fall asleep. I asked, what's that you got on top of him? And they said, oh, a wonderful new thing. It is a massage blanket. I said, oh, is he done with his workout? They said, no, he's just now going out, but we want to make him comfortable. I said, excuse me, you're putting him to sleep. Do you really want him to fall asleep and take a chance of tripping or falling? He's not alert and in good posture. They replied, well, he gets too spooky in the arena. I said, what do you do? There's a purpose to my leading training program. You should lead your animal around the perimeter of the arena first and let him see it in one direction, then turn around and let him see it in the other direction. I know what you're going to say. He's been in this arena 1,000 times. He knows there's nothing to spook at, but let me tell you, in a mule's world or a horse's world, every day is a new day. So you take those smaller steps, be considerate enough to go ahead and do those small inconsequential things in good posture to remind him every single day. Be repetitive and consistent in the way that you do things, so their new behavior becomes habitual. When you do that, it lowers their anxiety level. That's how you calm them down for riding. He can enjoy his massage blanket after his workout when he's more apt to be sore from the unbalanced rider.
Right.
You don't put equines on a lunge line and try to wear them out or build muscle that way either. Every time you try some new gimmick like that, you're one step closer to distrust with them. So you want to make everything consistent and practical all the time. You also need to do the same thing with yourself. There are a lot of people that will go to the gym every day or go running every day or every other day and work with artificial machines. All they end up doing is making themselves tired and their muscles fatigued because it's just like drilling for hours. For example, when you roll over and turn off your alarm, don't just jump up and turn off the alarm. You're likely to twist or pinch something. We're surrounded in this world with numerous physical opportunities to keep our bodies fit if we just do what we would normally do, but do it in good posture. We're so used to taking the easy way of doing things that we neglect doing a little work toward healthy results.
Oh, you bet.
If you think about how you're getting out of bed, the way I do it is just to stay straight in bed and roll over to the edge of it, then swing my legs down to the floor and use my core behind my belly button to stand up using my legs and not my back muscles. Learn to lift with your legs and not your back. Think about your own good posture every time you do anything. If you do that all day long, you don't need to go to the gym. Somebody asked me, well, what about the backs of your legs and stuff like that? I said, well, how about taking a walk and going up a hill backwards? Remembering one's good posture and being willing to pay attention to it is how to get healthy and how we can easily make our animals healthy and willing to comply with us.
Right.
At Hearts and Horses, it was a simple matter of reminding Allie about what she had learned with me before. It took a few minutes, but she did remember and complied for the video we wanted to shoot. Like I have said many times before, mules and donkeys never forget what they've learned if you are patient, consistent, and polite about the way you treat them. Do not take them for granted. When you and I were talking, you told me that you realized you needed more practice with good posture before your pageant, Cindy. You were required to walk on a stage in high heels. I know you're used to cowboy boots. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that was scary. That was the most challenging thing I had to do in a long while. I truly thought that I walked in high heels for a couple of afternoons, you know, around my piano, practiced for about 15, 20 minutes. And then I felt comfortable. I was like, wow, I got this. So when I went to the next rehearsal, it was clear. It was very obvious. I do not have this.
What happened to your body when you did that?
Well, it was out of sync and I was not confident. And I kept thinking, well, and I was relating to our discussions about good posture. And I thought, why can't I get this? And it's clear. You have to work on it every day. It was a very different experience for me. So I kept working at it. But even so, at the pageant, when the judges were there, it was obvious if you watch the video, I was acting like I had an attitude, and it was so that I could cover up that I could not work. I really couldn't walk in my high heels.
You were compensating and you were acting, right?
That's right. There you go.
Instead of walking on a straight line, you were just swinging your hips and pointing your fingers.
Right.
You were doing everything you could think of to cover up that you couldn't walk a straight line.
There you go. So.
But that's okay if you don't care about winning the pageant. At least you're having fun doing it.
Oh, yeah.
You made the best of that situation. So you mustered up as much confidence as you could.
Sure.
And it came through that you did. You didn't just let go and tell yourself, I can't do this, which a lot of people would have done.
Right.
I've modeled too and had to do pageants. I have to tell you, you didn't lose the competition because you didn't have talent. You didn't lose the competition because you weren't animated and enlivened and Miss Personality. You certainly had all that going for you. And I didn't see the questions that were asked, but I can imagine your answers. You've never really had a problem with conversation either. So the only problem that you might have had was that you couldn't walk like a Barbie doll.
There you go. It was obvious.
Is that really such a bad thing? Because if you're walking around like a Barbie doll, what do you think your mule would think of you?
Well, exactly. My heart is with the mule, so that's where I want and would rather be. So,
well, right. And if you're paying attention throughout everything that you're doing while you're doing it, you learn a lot of new exercises that you and your mule can do together. Everything about you will be authentic and not staged. Mules can smell a fake a mile away.
Right.
This only enhances the bond between you because it puts you in an ideal balance for performance. Soreness and compromised movements are no longer a risk. So you're just building your life around being healthy. At the same time, you're building all those internal feelings and fostering a deep bond that you can get with your equines. The awareness that you have in your environment, you're teaching and sharing with your animals.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much benefit that you can get with establishing postural core strength in a good balance. It's never too late to get started because as we age, we're more vulnerable to arthritis, bone injuries, and joint injuries. If we don't continually practice good posture, we can end up with these kinds of problems. If you go to a doctor to be treated for soreness, doctors these days are propagandized and indoctrinated to give you drugs and surgeries as a primary option. Consider how the opioid crisis got started. Look how many knee and hip surgeries are performed every year without even trying postural core strength building first. So I believe it's best to use more natural methods whenever possible. Only accept drugs and surgeries for you and your animals as a last resort after being extensively researched and investigated. There are so many equines out there between the ages of 20 and 25 that are having their joints injected for osteopathologies. My 17 equines are mostly over 33 years old, and they look and act like they are in their mid-teens. Their use life has been greatly extended.
Oh, yeah.
What you want to do is to realize how kind and considerate you are by doing the exercises that your equine is able to do in a step-by-step logical sequence with consideration to fatiguing his muscles. A lot of people would just say, well, I'm only going to go ride mine on the trail. But you know how dangerous trail riding can be in rough terrain. And think about what that could do to an unconditioned equine body.
Absolutely.
It's safer for both of you when you're strong and solid in good posture. My grandmother was right. The equine will know where he's placing each foot, and he's totally attentive to what he's doing at all times. More with long ears than with horses and ponies that engage in overreactions. So there are really no excuses for not going forward with good posture and healthy feeding and management practices that you can prevent obesity, reduce colic and founder, and lower your vet costs.
Oh, yeah.
When you practice good posture exercises, organs in your body and your equine's body are able to function in a healthy way, so they stay healthy. The rider is less likely to experience losses of balance, vertigo, falls, and over time, organ compromises and failures. These are serious, serious things. My vet tells me every spring when we do vaccinations, I've missed you. Nobody's gotten sick? And I say, nope. A guy came over and told me that I should put my training on a smartphone. I told him it was a dumb idea. I think that might cause more problems than it would ever solve. People tell me, oh, I gotta have my phone with me on the trail in case something happens. The first thing I think about is Murphy's Law. If you think it's gonna happen, it probably will. If my mule is bolting from minimal stimulus around him, adding a smartphone ring doesn't make much sense at all. They tell me that you might need your phone to call for help. If you ever need help, you should have been observing rule number one of trail riding. Never ride alone. And if you do anyway, chances are you won't get a signal in the places you like to ride, so the phone is virtually useless. I've ridden on a lot of trails for many years with no problems at all.
Right.
Mules appreciate it when they know that you're thinking about their mind and body during training. It enhances the bond between you. Then you can do more things to challenge yourself in a myriad of ways. You are only limited by what you can imagine. That's why I say, if you can dream it, you can do it.
Exactly. And in response to your statement about computers and how we're, you know, sort of programmed into looking for answers there, studies show that people want to get away into an environment where it's peaceful and serene and they don't have the internet. They don't have all of this. They're trying to, you know, reconnect with the environment.
That's absolutely true. At first, it was a novel idea and everybody got excited about it. Computers were supposed to enhance communication and provide infinite knowledge. But we have come to realize that isn't exactly true. People have become more engrossed in their phones and are bombarded with a lot of inaccurate, bogus information about everything. You're thrown into chaos and you can't pull your face away from the phone. People that are walking down the street together are still texting each other even though they're standing right next to each other. How dumb is that?
Oh, you bet. Sure.
People complain because, oh my God, we need so much more money from the government for daycare. Well, if your family was together and mom was at home, she could be babysitting and telling stories about her life that would be priceless for the kids. And if mom can't stay at home, there's always grandma. You could even pay her for it because you wouldn't have to pay for all the new expenses that come with computers.
Right.
If you don't have to work, that's all the better. But it's all a matter of scheduling time, scheduling purpose, scheduling things that are learning, real learning experiences that do not confuse children. What more do kids need to learn in school than reading, writing, arithmetic, science, and history? They can learn the rest of it by experience later. We wonder why people are depressed. Even good self-esteem is gleaned through work and being proud of the things that we do.
Yeah.
When you make training fun and interesting, you learn how to interact with each other and how to get the best out of life's precious moments. You can find the silver linings to those dark clouds every day so you can stay happy every day. When you have group lessons and not play favorites with your equines, they all know that they will have their turn with you, and pacing the fence or being herdbound fades away. You are all friends with no preferences to fight about.
Right.
When I call my long ears, everybody comes to me with their ears perked up. Mom, what are we going to do today?
Right. I love it. I love it. Yeah, that's the way it is.
It is the way it is. I guess it just takes our mules to bring us to our senses.
You bet. I'm just so indebted to you.
That goes both ways. And it's not that we're really indebted to each other as much as we're indebted to God for giving us this opportunity to be together. God is the one that has brought us together, kept us together, and keeps giving us new ideas for new things to enjoy together. So don't just sit on your ass thinking about the things you can't do. Get on your ass and ride with the wind. I'll be right there with you.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you hang in there and have a great day, and we'll touch base again soon, I'm sure.
You bet. Okay, Meredith.
Meredith Hodges has books and training videos available on her website, lucky3ranch.com. You can call Meredith at 1-800-816-7566. You can email Meredith at meredith@lucky3ranch.com. She's also on social media. And I can be reached through my website, everycowgirlsdream.com.
Gotta go. My mule is looking for me.
Mule Talk is an Every Cowgirl's Dream production.